can. Amen. And then everybody else, just stay right where you are. And turn with me to the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. Glory. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a primer of praise. And that's my subject tonight, a primer of praise. Anybody remember what a primer is? When you got ready to read, you got a primer. And it was the very foundation and basis to give you a foundation to learn how to read. It was the beginning. This is how you do it. And that's a primer. And so we're going to study tonight about this primer of praise. I'd like to know how to praise the Lord, wouldn't you? I'd like to know how to praise Him better. I've been doing it a long time, but I'm not satisfied. I'd like to do it better than I do it now. Anybody ever wish you could praise God better than you do? I do. I wish sometimes, I don't know how to do it better, but I want to learn. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 1 said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, every church ought to be a lively church. Every church ought to be a noisy church. Every church ought to be an exciting church. Amen. But what happens to a church that's not like that? Amen. It's because they don't know how to praise. They don't know how to praise. There's a lot of ways to praise the Lord. You may be seated. There's a lot of ways to praise the Lord. Amen. And the Bible shows us those many ways that we can praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, I don't know, this is my experience, but sometimes I just come into the presence of God and I'm so overwhelmed that I just kind of stand there in awe and don't really do anything. Amen. But I feel something. I feel a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. And then sometimes I come into the presence of the Lord, and as Brother Neil was talking about, sometimes you feel so overwhelmed, just tears begin to flow down your cheeks, and you just stand there and you just sob a little while, and there's a cleansing that goes with that, and it's such a wonderful feeling to weep before the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Amen. And sometimes I just come in the presence of the Lord and I just lift my hands up. And just turn my face up to Him. Like a little child reaching up to his parent. Just, "Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Hold me, Lord." Amen. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. Amen. And sometimes I want to clap my hands. Amen. Sometimes I just want to slice my finger pretty good today, so I had to hit a little differently than normal. Amen. But you just want to clap your hands. Amen. I remember a pastor one time, he went fishing. And He went fishing, and he got, you know, sometimes when you go fishing, you're baiting hooks and stuff, and you get your hands kind of torn up a little bit. And he come to church, and his hands were hurting because he'd been nicking them all day long with fish hooks. And he come to church, and he just got to worshiping the Lord, and he clapped his hands a little bit, and it hurt. The devil said, "You better not clap." And he said, "Oh, I'll show you, buddy." And he reared back and just clapped all the harder. Just gritted his teeth and went ahead and clapped anyway. Amen. I kind of feel like that. Anytime the devil tells me not to do something, I just say, "All right, I'll just show you. If that's what you don't want me to do, that's what I'm going to do." You want me to be quiet? I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to shout all the louder. Amen. You want me to sit here, amen, and just warm the pew? No, I'm not going to do that. That's time to get up and stand up and move out. Amen. Whatever you feel hindering you, that's what you strike against. And say, "That's not going to hinder my worship." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we just want to shout unto the Lord. All these things are in the Bible. It's amazing. And I'm really thankful tonight that I was born and grew up in a Pentecostal church. Brother Gidrose used to tell the story. There was a church in a neighborhood, and they'd get pretty lively. Neighbors would call the police. And the police would come and tell them they was going to have to pipe down. And they'd get pretty loud. And Brother Gidrose would take those policemen in the church, and he'd walk down the aisles, and he'd point out all the kids that were sleeping on the pew. He said, "Look at us, they're not bothering them." He said, "It's not the noise that's bothering these people. It's conviction of the Holy Ghost. That's what's stirring them up. It's not the noise." He said, they'll play their radios louder than this. They'll play their television set louder than this. I mean, they just don't like the conviction of the Holy Ghost that comes with praise. First time I preached in Costa Rica, I preached in a little old church in a little neighborhood. And there was a guy, listen to this, that sat out in front of the church and turned his radio up as loud as it would go and honked his horn the whole time I was preaching. Because he didn't like the church being there. But you know what? We had church anyway. And then I got to preach in the big church. Amen. And it was a pretty good sized building. And normally they don't have any problem there. But the particular Sunday that I got to preach, there was an empty lot right next to it. And that day they were having a benefit. And they put the platform right up against the church. And they had these huge speakers. And had the music blaring for the whole neighborhood. And I got to compete with that Sunday afternoon. Amen. I'm glad God didn't call me to Costa Rica. Amen. Some people just get all upset because praise, they don't think praise is supposed to be lively, but the Bible is full of praise. It's full of praise. There's many kinds of ways to praise. Yes, there's a time for reverence. I believe that. There's a time that you can simply just bow your head. Oh, and just feel the presence of God so very close to you. There's a time you can do that. And it's okay. But you don't need to do that all the time. Especially when you can't feel anything, you're just doing it. Well, one thing I've learned is when I'm not feeling anything, that's the time I need to start really praising God. Amen. I just get up and I don't feel anything, but I just start saying, "Oh, you're great, God. You're wonderful. There's nobody like you." And I just begin to tell Him how wonderful He is and how great He is. I begin to thank Him for all the blessings of my life. Amen. And you know what happens? Every time, it's never failed. After a while, I start feeling pretty good. Amen. Praise God. There's all kinds of ways to praise the Lord. Amen. And the psalm gives us several of them. Actually, it's very interesting to me. There are seven commands in this psalm. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. First of all, notice it says, make a judgment. That's a command. That's in a command form. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You see, it's a command to do that. So, now what's a joyful noise? Everybody know what a joyful noise is. Amen. A joyful, it's when people are happy. I was in Egypt on a tour one time, and I was up in, oh, I don't know, about way up, 10, 12, 15 floors up. And I was up there. And brother, I heard it like it sounded like somebody had invaded the hotel. Scared the daylights out of me. I thought, oh man, I'm right in the middle of a war zone here. And it was loud. The weirdest noise I'd ever heard in my life. Curiosity got the best of me. Nobody come up. I didn't hear anybody shooting. So I thought, well, maybe it's not a war after all. So I took the elevator down and it opened right into the big ballroom or guest room or vestibule, whatever it is. And they were having a wedding celebration. And I mean, those Egyptians could make noises you never heard. Women had this almost like a bird call thing going on. I never heard anybody could do that before. And a bunch of them were doing that. It was like, wow, where do they get the volume to do that? But it was a joyful noise. It was scary to me because it was weird, but it was joyful. And it was loud. I could hear it 15 floors up. Everybody in the hotel could hear it. Amen. They meant for you to hear it. They wanted you to know they were happy. They were having a celebration. And sometimes when we come to church, people need to know that we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate our own salvation and our deliverance. Hallelujah. And our soon home going to be with the Lord. That's why we come, to make a joyful noise. Praise ought to be hearty. It ought to be exuberant. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've never seen anybody get all excited and jump up and say, look, 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 there comes the ice truck. Not even a hot day. But I've seen, oh, here comes a fire truck. Oh, what's happening? There's a fire truck. And they get all excited. Amen. The church needs to be exuberant. It needs to be on fireplace. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. I've heard of churches that people call the fire department and said, I see smoke over there. Amen. And sure enough, it was. It was the Shekinah of the glory of God. I've seen it here in this very building. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I've seen it here. I've seen it settle like smoke in the house. Even the Shekinah glory of God. It's real, folks. It's genuine. Just like it was in the temple. You remember when they were trying to dedicate and they couldn't because the glory of the Lord came down. Amen. I've seen that happen in various places. Amen. I've seen it happen in Athens, Texas. Praise the Lord. The glory of the Lord. It's a real thing. Praise God. And so he said, I want you to make a joyful noise. I like this. It's called ruah. That's the word for joyful. Ruah. It means split the ear. An ear splitting kind of noise. Hallelujah. That's exuberant, isn't it? Amen. Another translation says, leap for joy. Praise God. Leap for joy. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jews, most of them don't have the Holy Ghost, but they do know how to worship. I was down at the Wailing Wall. They wasn't doing much wailing, though. they were happy folks. I watched men that get together, be 30, 40, 50 of them in a group, and a whole bunch of groups. And they'd just make a long line from here to the back of the church. And they'd just put their arms around one another. And they'd just do like this. Just dancing and singing psalms. And just happy as they could be. Shouting. Women on the other side of the wall doing the same thing. And they don't even have the Holy Ghost. And I thought, wow, joyful. 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 They were happy about their worship. They were happy. So he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And then I want you to get this. It says, all ye lands. You see, it's not just for the Jews. He said, this is for everybody. You know, when the Holy Ghost moves and the spirit of prophecy comes, sometimes we'll say things we don't even believe. And probably the Jew that wrote that didn't really believe what he wrote. He probably didn't want Gentiles praising his God, but the Holy Ghost, he got all carried away in the Holy Ghost. Just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, when he said, for the promises to you and your children and all that will fall off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He didn't believe that. When the Lord told him to go preach to the Gentiles, he said, huh? Not me. Oh, no. Not me. The Lord had to convince him 3 times to get him to go. And when he got home, he got called on the carpet for going. Yes, he did, by the rest of the apostles. He said, what are you doing in the Gentiles' house? Well, and yet on the day of Pentecost, of all the prophecies he could have quoted, he quoted Joel's prophecy. So sometimes we get all carried away in the Holy Ghost and say things we don't really believe. But they're true anyway. And this was one of them. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody, Gentiles, Jews, everybody glorify God. So it's a universal call to praise. Praise is universal. I've had the privilege to be in, oh, I guess about 17 different countries in my life. And every culture is different. Every culture is a little bit different. Praise is a little bit different. But I like it. Amen. I've been in church with different kinds of people in different languages. And even when you can't understand the language, you can still understand the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just great. It's wonderful. That's what heaven's going to be like. The people, they're going to be from every race, every language, every culture. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting, exciting place. Amen. But it's going to be for everybody. It is for everybody. And everybody make it a joyful noise. Amen. And then the second thing he said, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. You know, there's different reasons to serve. Some of you serve on your job not because you're so glad, but because you're going to get a paycheck. That's why you serve. Amen. Boss says, go over there and do that. You don't really want to, but you do it because you want to get a paycheck at the end of the week. And it's not that you're so much in love with, but you serve because that's your motive. He's going to pay me to do this. And he's hired me, and he's my boss. And so I'm going to do what he says. And come Friday, I'm going to be glad I did. And my creditors are too. So we do that. We serve with a motive. But he said, serve the Lord with gladness. Did you know that service is a part of worship? Let me say that again. Service is a part of worship. You serve God by serving. Or you worship God by serving Him. Amen, that's right. Praise God. Did you know you can serve God by pushing a vacuum cleaner? Or mowing a lawn? Or cleaning a bathroom? You can serve the Lord by doing that. Praise God. By helping somebody fix their car? By giving somebody a ride? Needs it right. There's all kinds of ways to serve the Lord. And all those things, by preaching a sermon, or singing a song, or teaching a Sunday school lesson, or corralling kids while somebody else teaches a Sunday school lesson. There's all kinds of ways to serve the Lord. And that's a part of our worship. As a matter of fact, if the Lord saved you and you don't have any desire to serve, I'm worried about you. Hey man, I'm worried about you. Hey man, we ought to want to find something. Give me something I can do. I want to serve the Lord, Brother Neil. I want to serve Him. I want to do something for Him. He's done so much for me. I want to do something for Him. And when I do it, I want to do it with gladness. Hey man. I don't normally ask people to do much. If I can do it, I can just do it myself, but and I know that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. That's the way it is. And part of the reason it's like that, because a few times I've asked people to do things and they just flat out said, no, I'm not going to do that. I was like, well, okay, sorry I asked. And then I went joyfully and did it. Praise the Lord. I just gave them an opportunity and they missed the blessing. Praise God. And, you know, they were not very happy people, I'd say that. Praise the Lord. But people that love to serve God are joyful people. They're glad people because they're serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is you get to do, just be glad you get to do it. Amen. And then the next word, it's a command. He says, come before His presence. That implies motion. That implies effort. That implies a direction. Amen. When you come before His presence, that means that you're going from somewhere you wanted to be to Him and to where He is and where His presence is. This word presence here can also be translated face. His presence or His face. Come before His face. Amen. Brother Neil, you were talking about wanting to see Him, and we can't see Him here tonight, but we're before His face. His presence is His face. And I don't see Him, but He sees me. Hallelujah. Job said, I don't know where He is, but He knows where I am. Hallelujah. You can be in His presence, and you can't see Him. Sometimes you might not even feel Him. Amen. But you come before His presence, the Bible said, with singing. Come before His presence with singing. And we like to do that around here, don't we? Amen. We like to sing, and that's good. Amen. We're singing folks, and I like that. I told somebody one time, I said, I'm really not a morning person. And then we were riding along early in the morning. And he said, I thought you said you were not a morning person. I said, I'm not. He said, well, what are you doing singing over there? And I caught myself. I was humming and I was singing. And I changed my mind. You know what? I am a morning person. I just thought I wasn't. Praise the Lord. But you just catch yourself singing and humming and whistling. And that's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. Praise the Lord. And so it said, come before His presence with singing. And we do that. And most services, that's how we start out here. We just start out singing. Amen. We're in His presence, and we just start out singing. I like that. I love to sing. I love to hear people sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know in Colombia, if people couldn't sing well, they just went ahead and sang loud. They were going to get out one way or the other. One church I went to, the guy had an electric guitar and a little amp that the speaker was busted on, and I know why, because he had it cranked up as loud as it would go. And he knew, he didn't ever know when to change that thing. He'd just change whenever he felt it. But I'm telling you what, he was excited about it. Amen. Now, I hope nobody tries that around here. Because we do have folks that know what they're doing. And the Bible does say, play skillfully. Play skillfully. Amen. Everybody's got to learn, but play skillfully. You know, there's a place for people to learn, and there's a place for people to, you know, point taken. You know, in other words, sometimes it's a treat, sometimes it's treatment. We prefer the treat. Here we go. Amen. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. And so we come singing before the Lord. And then the third verse, he said, know ye that the Lord is God. You know, if you're gonna worship the Lord, you need to know the Lord. That adds so much to your worship when you know Him. Amen. That's what Paul told those people in Athens that time, Athens, Greece, when he gathered on the Palatine Hill, and he said, "You have an altar here to the unknown God." He said, "I'm going to make Him known to you." Hallelujah. They were worshiping a God and they didn't even know what they were worshiping. But it makes a difference when you know who you're worshiping. It makes a difference when you know that though He was rich for your sake, He became poor that ye through His poverty might become rich. That He came down to your level to lift you up to His level, and He became like us so that we could become like Him. And God was manifest in the flesh so that He could redeem us and save us and give His blood as our sacrifice and become our Savior. And when you know Him like that, that He was crucified and resurrected on the third day, amen, and glorified, amen, and living in us by the power of the Holy Ghost. When you know Him, it makes a difference in how you worship Him.
I worship you.
Amen. Some people know His name, and some people know Him. Hallelujah. You remember those sons of Sceva decided they'd try that. So they went to this man that was demon-possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And he did. And he beat them black and blue, put bruises on them, and ripped the clothes off, and they went out there screaming and hollering. They knew the name of the Lord, but they didn't know the Lord of the name. You got to know Him. That's what the Scripture says, that's one of the commandments of praise, is to know Him. Know ye the Lord God. Know who He is. Know who you serve. Amen. And we know Him by experience. Everybody say, by experience. Not just by hearsay. Praise the Lord. I know the Lord is a Savior because He saved me. I know the Lord is a deliverer because He delivered me. I know the Lord is a provider because He's provided for me. I know the Lord is a healer because He's healed me. You know, we know the Lord by experience today. We haven't just heard about Him, but we have experienced Him. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody with more degrees than a thermometer might tell you the Holy Ghost is not real, but you know it's real because you've experienced the Holy Ghost. So the proper answer is, sir, have you tried it? Well, no, I just know it's not real. Well, you don't know nothing then. Amen. Like the little boy with a professor, he was rowing him across this river, and the professor was giving the little boy a hard time. He said, son, he said, do you know anything about psychology? And the little boy said, I don't know nothing about no colleges. And he said, well, he said, do you know anything about philosophy? He said, I don't know nothing about no philosophies. And he just kept on rowing. And he kept asking about all these great sciences. The little boy didn't know nothing. And finally, the little boy said, sir, do you know anything about swimology? He said, no, sir. He said, no, kids, I can't swim a lick. And he said, well, he said, then you're fixing to lose your life. He needed to know a little about swimology because the boat had a hole in it and it was going down. Amen. So you may not know about a lot of ologies, but the thing you got to know is God. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Makes all the difference when you really know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said He made us. He made us. He's our Creator. Amen. And I like that. I believe that. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I believe that. I don't believe I'm an accident. I don't believe I was born out of chaos. Amen. I don't believe I was made out of some kind of explosion. I don't believe that some one of my grand ancestors crawled out of the slime somewhere, lost its tail and started walking around on feet. And eventually got some long arms and walk around all hairy and long face, dragging his wife into the cave by her hair. I never met a wife that put up with that. That's so silly. Amen. But now, I don't know. I just believe that He created me. And if you're going to believe in God at all, just go ahead and believe in a big one. Amen. I believe that. I believe in God that created you. The Bible said He has made us. And I know we're living in a time when they don't want us to believe that. They call us silly if we believe that. You really believe that? Yes, I believe that. Amen. Yes, I believe. Unashamedly, I believe that. Amen. And you have no proof of that in any other way. But what about the fossil record? Don't talk about the fossil record. It's on my side, not yours. Amen. You dig up a bone that looks like a monkey? Well, it probably was. So what? What does that prove? It proves that a monkey died. Amen. So you see, they try to make us look silly, but they look silly when you just really get right down to it. It's been proven over and over and over again. All these things. And it's foolishness, but they're straining so hard to remove God from the picture. The Bible says when they knew Him as God, they refused to worship Him as God. And God turned them over to darkness and to a reprobate mind. That's what happens if you refuse to retain God in your knowledge. He said you become foolish and worship the creature more than the Creator. And that's exactly what happens. That's why the Bible said, He has made us and not we ourselves. You ever heard anybody say, well, I'm a self-made man? Oh, really? How'd that happen? No, you're not a self-made man. You're not a self-made man. Amen. You have the same Creator that I have. Everybody. Amen. So we know Him. It's so important that we know Him. And then the next command, He said, enter into His gates. That's public worship. We are commanded to public worship. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I just like to worship God in my home. Well, you should. You should. And I've heard people say, you know, when I just get out in the woods by myself, that's where I like to worship God. Well, that's good. You should. Worship Him on the fish bank. Fine, worship Him. Worship Him in the lake, in a boat. Fine, worship Him out there. Amen. But that does not excuse you from public worship. Amen. The Bible said, enter into His gates. That's talking about His house of worship. Amen. You should worship God in your house. You ought to worship God everywhere you go. You ought to worship God on your job. You ought to worship God in school. You ought to worship God wherever you are, in the hospital. Amen. Worship God anywhere you are. Worship God. But you need to worship God publicly as well. So to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The word thanksgiving comes from the word todah, which means worship the Lord with extended hands. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there's a call to public worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. The word praise means to laud or to cry out with a loud voice. In the Bible, you know, when they anointed Saul to be king and David to be king, they lifted up their voice and they said, long live the king, with a loud voice. That's called laud or praise. Amen. And when you come to the house of the Lord, there's times that you need to lift up your voice loud and glorious and boastful to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've known people say, well, you know, I'm just not like that. I'm just real calm. Amen. And then you go by their house and they're calling their kids. You can hear them 6 blocks away. Quiet, huh? Yeah, I've been storing it up, I see. There's a time to shout before the Lord. Lift up your voice. Amen. Lift up your voice. You know, people get excited about different things. Amen. I know people get excited about rock concerts. I know people get excited about ball games. Amen. And if you get excited about ball games, you really ought to get excited in church. Amen. Just to keep your flesh under control. Amen. You should never get more excited about somebody making a touchdown than you do about Jesus Christ for saving your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's real good, Brother Chris. Woo! Boy, that was good stuff. You ought to say that again. I said you should never get more excited about somebody making a touchdown or hitting a home run or shooting the final basket. Amen. Than you do about Jesus Christ for saving your soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This ought to be the most exciting thing in your life. Amen. We ought to praise the Lord more than we do anything else. We ought to praise Him. Because He's good. It's good to be thankful. Amen. Then He said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Praise the Lord out loud. And then the Bible said, be thankful. That's another command. Be thankful. Amen. Be thankful unto Him. Amen. That shouldn't be hard, right? Be thankful unto Him. Amen. And all you got to do is just start thinking about it. There shouldn't be one ingrate in the church. Oh, we're blessed people. Woo, we're blessed people. We're the blessed, most best blessed people in the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He woke me up this morning and He started me out on the way. He's the God of my salvation. Yes, He is. Amen. And you ought to praise Him all day long. Amen. Because He made you and He's given you life. Amen. You need to thank Him while you're fixing your breakfast. Amen. You need to thank Him while you're driving your car to work. You need to thank Him when you get out at your job. Thank God you got one. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, gave you good sense. Amen. To do your job. Gave you physical strength to do your job. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you get that paycheck, praise God. Thank You for this paycheck, Lord. Amen. Go home. Walk in your house. Thank God for this house. Amen. I'm so glad I got a roof over my head. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for this air conditioning. Amen. Thank You for this warm room when it's cold outside. Amen. Thank You for my dog and my cat. Thank You for my kids. Thank You for my clothes. Thank You for everything, Jesus. We ought to be the happiest people, the most blessed people, and you will be if you count your blessings. You will be when you count your blessings. Some people only look at what they don't have. Oh, so-and-so got a new. I didn't get one. I really deserved it more than they got one before. I haven't had a new one since, I don't even remember when. They've had two since then. You know, you get to thinking like that. Amen. You don't need to think like that. Be blessed. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God's amazing. God is amazing. Columbia, we were working on some Sunday school material, and we have this box that had arrived from the United States, and sometimes people would ship clothes and stuff down, and we'd share it with people. So we opened that box up, and there were two young ladies that were there with us, and we were going through this box of clothes, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, in this box of clothes, of all things, there was a wedding dress. A wedding dress. A white wedding gown. And we thought, well, so we asked, we said, do y'all know anybody that needs a wedding gown? And one of those little girls, her eyes lit up. And she said, I need one. I didn't know if she was getting married. But she said, I need one. I'm getting married. And you know what? It just fit. Oh, my friend. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. You think she was thankful? You think she was thankful? She would never, never have been able to afford anything like that. She didn't have the money for it. Never would have. But isn't that amazing? You just think about the logistics involved in that. Somebody in the United States going through their closet and said, I don't need this, and put it in a box. Sent it to Bogota, Colombia. And there was a little old girl, yeah? Size zero. There you go. I thought zero, you wasn't even there, but whatever. I guess ladies' sizes are different. Size zero, there you go. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Amen. And God sent that to Bogota, Colombia, because there was a sweet young lady there working in the Sunday school department, getting married and wondering how in the world she was going to find a new dress. And God said, I got that taken care of. He's amazing. And you know what? He's done similar things like that for you. Maybe not exactly the same way, but he's done similar things like that. Yes. Taking care of you. Yes. Amen. That's why we need to be thankful. And we need to maintain an attitude of gratitude. We live in a world, we're surrounded by people that have more than anybody on the face of the earth, and they're so ungrateful. So ungrateful. So ungrateful. Amen. I'm amazed at people. Amen. How ungrateful they are for what they have. Amen. And so we need to be thankful. Amen. And if you'll do that, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so just be thankful to the Lord. And then the Bible said, bless His name. Bless His name. The word bless comes from the word barak, actually. Very interesting, huh? That word means to kneel before the Lord. To kneel in submission and adoration. Amen. Praise God. And there are times that you just feel almost like your knees collapse. Isn't that what it said in Philippians chapter 2? Amen. Therefore the Lord hath given him a name that's above every name. Yes. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. That's barak. Amen. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. Amen. That's how you bless Him. Praise God. And so all of those are command form. Amen. It talks about to make a joyful noise and serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing and know Him and enter into His gates with thanksgiving and be thankful and bless His name. Now the reason that we do all of that is contained in the last verse that said, because God is good. The thought came to me one time that God is good, and I'm glad He is. Because if He wasn't, there's nothing I could do about it. If God was bad and evil, we'd just be in bad shape, folks. Because He'd still be God. We'd be stuck with it. I'm glad God's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God is good. I like it. I was in a church one time and the congregation was mostly black, almost everybody there. And I didn't know they did this, so I got to the pulpit and I said, God is good. And they said, all the time. And then somebody said, all the time. And the whole congregation said, God is good. I thought, well, I like that. Amen. They had this thing going. I didn't know they did that, but I liked it. Amen. So when somebody says God is good, I automatically think, all the time. All the time. God is good. And that's right, isn't it? It's always right. God is good. All the time. Amen. And then it said His mercy is everlasting. We preached about that Sunday night. God's mercy is everlasting. The Bible said that's why we're not consumed. If God's mercy was not everlasting, none of us would be here tonight. If God's, think about this. What if God's mercy was like your mercy? How many times are you willing to forgive somebody? Come on now, think with me. Come on, think with me. How many times are you willing to forgive somebody? How far are you willing to stretch your mercy? How long will you put up with some things in people's lives? Well, it's quiet here near now. Hello? Thank God His mercy is everlasting. Amen. And that's why Jesus said that if we forgive men their trespasses, then He forgives our trespasses. But if we don't forgive them, He said, I won't forgive you. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. Isn't that fair? Isn't that fair? I think that's just as fair as it can be. Amen. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. You want to harbor things? God can... Somebody said you can't outgive God, but you can't out-squeeze Him either. Amen. He can hang on longer than you can hold on. Amen. Amen. You want to hold a grudge? You have never seen a grudge like He can hold a grudge. The Bible said He can hold it for generations. Amen. I mean, He can hold it. Did you know one time He held a grudge for 400 years? 400 years. When Israel was going through the wilderness, and the Amalekites or Amalek attacked the Israelites, He said, write it in the book. Said, we're going to kill every one of them. 400 years later, God said, it's payday. And He said, Saul, I want you to go against the Amalekites, kill every man, woman, boy, girl, and animal. Don't leave nothing. God can hold a grudge. Or He can forgive. I want to be on the forgiven side. It costs too much to hold a grudge, folks. It costs too much. You don't have near enough to pay that. So it's better just to forgive. Amen. So God is merciful. And it said in His truth, endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad for truth today? I mean real truth. Something that's always concrete and never changes. Amen. I'm so tired of things changing every other day. Do you remember I saw a billboard a few years ago? I love that billboard. It's one of my favorite billboards I ever saw. It was a billboard of eggs, just a whole bunch of little eggs with little legs. And they were walking out of jail with a big old smile on their face. You know why they were so excited? Because now the scientific community had decided that eggs are not so bad for you. A few years before that, eggs, you eat eggs, you're going to die right away. And all of a sudden, the eggs are getting out of jail and they're so happy. Amen. You see, but that's our current generation. You know, today something's bad for you. Tomorrow it's good for you. Eat it today, you're going to die tomorrow. Well, you need to eat a whole lot of that. I mean, that's good for you. Amen. And praise the Lord. And so it's always changing. Every day it's changing. I read about a guy this week in Time magazine that said that he saved the world. Because back in, what was it? Is that the 70s, 80s? Maybe you'll remember. You remember everything used to have CFC, fluorocarbons in it. All the spray products, you know, had fluorocarbons. And then we passed the law because there was a hole in the ozone layer and it was going to disappear. We're all going to die. So we passed the law. No more fluorocarbons. And it healed itself. Well, how do we know it wouldn't heal itself without us making a law against fluorocarbons? We don't know everything. But nonetheless, it healed itself. And so the man saved the world. Of course, he couldn't save himself. He's dead. But you see what I'm talking about? This is truth. Oh, this is truth. We proved this scientifically. And then the next month, no, we didn't quite prove that. But thank God there's truth. You can build your life on it. It'll never change. Amen. What He said then, He means every day. And it's that kind of truth that's going to save us. And you'll have something you can build your life on. Thank God for that kind of truth. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank You for Your time and Your attention here tonight. Amen. And His truth endureth. I want you to get this. It endures to all generations. Now I'm going to tell you what. Truth's endured some stuff. Did you ever see that picture? I love that picture of the Bible. And it's the Bible's like an anvil. Big old steel anvil. And the ground is littered with hammers that the skeptics through the years have tried to destroy the anvil. And they've hammered against it. And they've beat on it. And they've railed against it. And in the name of every kind of religion and every kind of philosophy. and every kind of supposed scientific fact, and they beat on the anvil of the Word of God. And when it's all over, the anvil still stands. And the ground is littered with all of the complaints, all of the accusations. Amen. But it still stands, because this is truth. It was truth when Moses wrote it, and Peter and James and John and Paul, when they wrote their letters, it was truth, and it's truth today. It'll be truth tomorrow. Amen. It'll always stand. It endures to all generations. Thank God for His Word tonight. Thank God for His Word. Amen.